Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. So in the opening segment, we discussed the Yankees issues and Jazz and the Aaron Boone and the accountability and all that went into it. But my statement was, unlike these other series where I screamed and yelled and talked about how much this team stinks, I do acknowledge there's 2 months left in the season. And this team is a team that was just all in less than a week ago on the trade deadline, so to speak, with the bullpen arms. This series versus the Marlins has to be the last rock bottom, no pun intended for the wrestling world, of the Yankee season. And usually when a team hits rock bottom, that's it. They've hit rock bottom, they rise back up. Unfortunately, the Yankees have had multiple rock bottoms this year where they thought they would rebound. So what are the top five rock bottoms of the Yankee season so far? Or bottom five. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go!
Number five.
How about to end the first half of the season before the All-Star break? They win those four in a row versus the Mariners. How do they respond after that? That Saturday and Sunday, two straight losses to the Cubs to end the first half. They went womp, womp, womp into the All-Star break. And it felt like that kind of drained some momentum that they had built back up when they had beat the bricks off the Mariners.
Yeah, they had that Friday night, too, where I felt like they scored a lot of runs.
Yeah, Bellinger had the
Three homers?
I think could have been
three
four.
Homers in that game. And then they scored maybe like one run combined on Saturday and Sunday, and they went into the break on a whimper.
Yep, that was number five. All right, here we go.
Number four.
This is a one-game rock bottom, but it was our first true warning sign of the Yankees. Saturday, May 31st. Some remember that as Knicks elimination night.
You didn't have to
throw Others that remember it as the night the Yankees lost to the Dodgers 18-2 on two solo King Judge homers. They lost.
Right.
Now, that officially declared the series was a loss to the Dodgers. That was two straight. But the Yankees losing 18-2 to the team that beat them in the World Series in late May was our first sign that that was a rock bottom. Oh, you can't get blown out like that again. And they've had many other problems since.
Yeah, it looked like, you know, men against boys there. They just looked like they weren't even in the league of the Dodgers. They were humiliated that night, for sure.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
The beginning of the Boone June swoon, some have said. June 13th to 16th, the Yankees are swept three games by the Boston Red Sox. Don't look now, those games matter. Boston's giving them a honk and a wave, passing them in the standings. It was then followed by three straight losses to the Angels, a six-game losing streak for the Yankees, and again started the Red Sox comeback in the standings. The Yankees ended up winning a Thursday afternoon game that stopped the bleeding, but those six losses really set in motion what became pathetic baseball that's really existed since June 13th.
Yeah, and at the time, it didn't seem like much with the Red Sox because they hadn't really woken up from their slumber yet. But now that they've traded Devers, and it was a team that I was very high on, I think in our predictions before the season, I had them winning the division. I have to go back and double check that. But I knew that the Red Sox would be dangerous this season, and we're certainly seeing that, you know, before the All-Star break and certainly post-All-Star break.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
Number two is yesterday. Getting swept by the Florida, Miami, whatever you want to call them, freaking Marlins, off of that trade deadline where the Yankee fans were back beating their chest, allowing Boston to pass them once and for all. That felt like a rock bottom, but shockingly is not the first rock bottom.
Yeah, I'm curious. I think I know where you're going with this, but in my opinion, Friday night was the Yankees' worst loss of the season. So I'm a little surprised that you don't have that as the rock bottom, but I will let it go if you have number one what I think it's going to be.
All right, here we go.
Number one.
It's the last day of June, first 3 days of July, where the Yankees were swept in four games up in Toronto. Remember, the Yankees entered that series still in first place. Mm-hmm. They have not seen first place since losing four straight. When Max Fried had a bad start up there as well, that four-game sweep in Toronto was brutal. They then piggybacked that with two losses in a row to the Mets before they righted the ship on the Bellinger catch. But that was another six-game losing streak that was thrown in there. So that's why yesterday, when everybody goes and screams and yells, that's why maybe I came in more calmer than usual, Tommy. Think about that. The Yankees have had how many of those moments this year that have frustrated the hell out of you? And shockingly, yesterday's three-game sweep was not the worst.
Yeah, and I think that the ones against Toronto and now looking back on it against Boston are going to sting more. They're in division. It allows Toronto to take the season series, and so they have the tiebreaker on you. So the ones against Miami who have played really well, and it sucks, and I still think Friday night was the worst loss of the season because of the momentum they had from the Tampa series and the trade deadline, and then all the new acquisitions were bad, or certainly not all of them, obviously, McMahon, but the ones they got the day before just all flamed out in epic proportion. That felt like the worst loss of the season. But the moments in Toronto, I think highlight why the Yankees are in the position they're in. It just feels like Toronto plays with more urgency. They don't fear the Yankees on any level, and the Yankees in those games just make a million mistakes, and you realize that there is just a pretty decent gap between the two teams.
Now, what scares me more, and that was Cinco de Mayo today and every day, a question has been asked, what can get the Yankees out of this and going right? Mm-hmm. The Yankees have had moments, right? Like, all the reason they have five rock bottoms means they have responded at some point to end it. We brought up the idea of losing 18-2 to the Dodgers. Well, the Yankees ended up winning a game on that Sunday that kind of breathed a sigh of relief. We brought up the six-game sweep in mid-June. Well, the Yankees beat the Angels in that last game that had a decent weekend after that. The four-game sweep followed by the games versus the Mets, they win that Sunday game, and then they get hot. Mm-hmm. The Cubs, at the end of the first half, they had beaten the Mariners those couple times, and they came out. Remember, nobody thought they were going to win that Saturday game versus Atlanta after the All-Star break, and they found a way to get that done on David Wright Day. The Yankees have responded, which is why tonight, with Max Fried on the mound, I know that Texas is playing well. My full anticipation, you see on SNY, 18-27 since that June 13th mark, the second worst record in the AL. I think the Yankees are going to have a good week in Texas. I do. I think Max Fried's going to give them a good start. The Yankees are going to beat their chest. There might be a game in this series where they score 10 runs or something like that. I also think you're going to get good Bednar and good Doval now as they got kind of their feet under them after that implosion on Friday night. And will the Yankees have another one of these series like they just had this weekend the rest of the year? My gut tells me they probably will. They probably will. But with King Judge returning tomorrow, I think that will give them a jolt of energy. My expectation off of the Marlins series is the Yankees find a way here to build a little mojo and a little momentum. And then guess what? You know what we're going to be talking about Thursday and Friday, right? Yankees, Houston, to, you know, have a big, big Carlos Correa kind of weekend. He hit a home run, by the way, yesterday. And see if the Yankees find maybe a little of that mystique. And maybe the Astros are the team this weekend that rejuvenates the Yankees and they feel a sense of importance in big October-like baseball. We can only hope, but that's all we could point to because right now it feels like every time the Yankees respond with something good, something bad is again around the corner.
Yeah, based on the season that they've had, if what you're saying comes to fruition and the Yankees have a good series in Texas against the Rangers, we know what's waiting for them this weekend. And I think the Astros do what they always do to the Yankees, or more often than not have done to the Yankees, and that's kind of get them back down to earth and humble them. That's just the feel of this season. You're right. It's been stop, start, stop, start. And even if they do have a good series, and they probably should. I mean, you have Fried on the mound. So in theory, you win tonight. In theory. And I know Evaldi's pitching one of these games, I think on Wednesday for Texas. Yeah. So, and Texas has played good baseball, but the Yankees always do enough to just sort of right the ship. But what I need to see from them, and I think what everybody needs to see from them is, you know, Freak could go out there and pitch a great game. You know, the King can come back and hit a bunch of home runs and be an elite baseball player. I need to see the mistakes they make every night.
Yeah, mistake-free series. How about that?
Or at least, you know, cut it down a little bit where they're not as many. And then you start to think, all right, now they're truly turning the corner. They won't really turn that corner and put themselves, at least in my mind, in the conversation as a team that could win a championship until they cut down overwhelming majority of their mental boneheaded mistakes.
We do have a Yankee lineup tonight.
All right. Who's leading off?
That's all I care about. Paul Goldschmidt will lead off at first base. Don't necessarily love that.
I love it.
Ahmed Rosario will bat second and play right field tonight. Cody Bellinger bats third in center
field.
Before
you say that, this is a game we've played on the fan before. It's called If I Had Told You.
Oh, the lineup?
If I Had Told You back in, I don't even know, January, February, that we'd be sitting here on August 4th, and the Yankee lineup, the first two hitters in the lineup would be Paul Goldschmidt and Ahmed Rosario. What would you?
How did that happen?
Exactly. But that just, and that's nothing against those guys. It's just, and they went into the year without really a clear cut leadoff hitter, and they haven't developed one at all, which is another part of their issues. They can't have a set lineup day in, day out. But Goldschmidt and Rosario are the first two in the order here.
Okay. And keep in mind, you're facing a lefty in Patrick Corbin. So this is the Yankee lefty lineup they envisioned when the trade deadline came and passed. So Goldschmidt, Rosario, Bellinger. Giancarlo is cleaning up DHing. Austin Slater is hitting fifth in this lineup. Hey, all I heard is about how much this guy mashed lefties with the White Sox. You're betting fifth in this Yankee order. Yahtzee tonight, as Paulie would say. Maybe it's an Austin Slater home run spot.
I was thinking maybe that should be our bet tonight.
An Austin Slater home run?
Only because of the way you reacted to it. And no disrespect to an Austin Slater, but I would imagine the overwhelming part of our audience when they heard the Yankees were acquiring Austin. Yeah, they were thinking, AC Slater? I mean, who are we getting here?
But they claim he mashes lefties. So we'll see. He bats fifth tonight. Jazz bats sixth. Yep. You know, he doesn't deserve to sit ever. Anthony Volpe, your shortstop. Boy, you talk about just putting guys you're frustrated with back-to-back. Batting seventh, Austin Wells catches, batting eighth, and Jose Caballero will be the third baseman in batting ninth, meaning Ryan McMahon is out of the lineup. Another guy struggles versus left. So no Dominguez, no Grisham, no McMahon, no Rice. That's your bench tonight. And Pretty good bench.
Could this be the last we see of a Caballero when
they just traded for him?
I mean,
you got to send a bullpen arm down.
Does he have options to get
one.
Sent down?
He has one option.
So there's got to be a roster move.
You don't
here.
Make the trade for Caballero and send him down. That would be, what does Brian Cashman think?
I mean, you certainly wouldn't put him in right field if you were looking to get rid of him and he was on the chopping block.
I'll say this. He better
that
play
probably be not.
A clean third base.
Let's just put a pin in that if Caballero gets sent down.
Somebody's got to go down. It's got to be a bullpen. Are you going to send one of these bench pieces down? You just made all these trades.
I mean, you do have Rosario that you made him. They do have a bunch of players. I'm just speculating.
You can't lose that flexibility if Judge and Giancarlo are basically just DHs.
But do you want to give up any kind of arm in the pen right now?
You just got deeper in the pen.
I know that, but you lose your depth if you start to send guys down.
The Johnny Loaisiga over the weekend gets put on the IL.
Oh, you think a mental break?
That's his,
That's a take a couple weeks.
Insert comment here. Okay, the guy has struggled. That sounded like we don't want to waste an option on somebody or DFA somebody, risk losing them. That didn't pass the sniff test for me. All right, and as I said, Max Fried on the mound tonight. If the Yankees do lose tonight, you know what you call that, Loogie?
If the Yankees lose tonight, what do we call
quick.
It, Loogie?
What do you call it?
I don't know.
A Fried pickle. 888-808-1019. And we did ask Sal Licata, but we did not, instead of a fried pickle. You're in a pickle? A Fried pickle.